You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB provide many, many different services to people following their sight loss. And this Remember a Charity Week, we would like to highlight those services. Here to discuss the impact that RNIB has had on their life is Dave Rooney. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about your sight loss, please?
My sight loss was due to a stroke back in December 2010. Which caused me to have what's called right-sided hemianopia in both eyes, which means I have peripheral loss of vision on the right side in both eyes, which was totally strange to me and alien to me, considering that I was short-sighted at birth, but caused me to lose my job and obviously couldn't drive anymore because I didn't have 20/20 vision in one good eye. A massive change to my daily living experience.
Absolutely. And I imagine a pretty strong emotional toll as well.
Yeah, it caused me certainly a breakdown in my mental health. Also, the stroke left me rendered with loss of memory for a lot of things. And for the first 18 months, I was certainly sleeping anything between 18 and 19 hours a day, which, as the consultant explained to me, was my brain trying to recover from the stroke. It was a loss of independence. It was a loss of my job, self-worth, and basically having two young boys in terms of me not being able to, what I felt, be a father figure to those guys and give them guidance in their life as they were growing up.
So what was your first interaction with the RNIB then?
Well, I was very, very lucky that when I completed my certificate of visual impairment at the hospital, I had an echo because emotionally I was a wreckage after that CVI when he explained to me the outcome of what that would happen, that would go to the DVLA. I'd have to surrender my license. I was guided there full of tears and just didn't know what to do. My echo, Janet Porter, who sat at the desk with a guide dog at her feet, explained to me in full depth. That was when I calmed down from my emotional state, that what help was available to me. She really calmed me down, explained that I had the opportunity to get a guide cane. I was entitled to a guide dog. And that's really when, if you like, it didn't really hit home, because I smiled and says, well, I can still see something. And she says, that's fine, no problem. I just want you to understand what help, support, guidance is out there and the organisations that are available to you, of which the RNIB was one.
And just how vital was it to hear that? I mean, you've mentioned you were at a pretty low ebb. So just how reassuring was it to hear that information that there was support out there?
Well, at the time, I didn't really take that information in because it was so close to just being told that my sight loss was going to have a major impact in my life. It was the fact that I returned home and then I actually tried to make my way into, I was living in Walsall then in West Midlands, make my way on the Saturday morning back into the town centre when I caught the bus there and then walked into a big open square. And a three-year-old girl just came across in front of me from my right. I didn't see her and completely bundled into her, knocked her over. And that's when two very, very angry parents were in my face, as you can imagine. I just tried to explain, but they weren't having any of that. And in the end, I just turned around, got back on the bus, went home and cried myself to sleep. But that wasn't the end of the story, because the following day, a good friend of mine came over and said, let's go out for some lunch. And me being me at the end of the meal, said, I'll get this, I'll pay for this. And stood up, went to find my way to the till and walked straight into a waiter who I didn't see on my right again with a handful of plates and knives and forks that had been serving a table of about five or six of a family, and just went everywhere. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. It was just total embarrassment from my point of view. Paid the bill and did exactly the same thing. And it was when I rang Janet on the Monday morning in a state and just says, we need to talk. And she said, get here by whatever means, come and talk to me. And as I explained all this in floods of tears to her on the Monday morning, this is where two words come into what really matters. And those two words are sympathy and empathy. All she gave me was total empathy, because what she said to me was, what do you want to do about it? She didn't jump into the hole and start giving me all of the there's nothing to worry about. And I just said, I need something that is going to point out to people that I can't see properly. I need a guide cane or something. And within 3 days, that was in my hands. And that was really the start of my experience of visual loss.
Amazing that came together so quickly, getting the cane within a matter of days. What other support have you received from the RNIB?
That really came about some time later, because I did a lot of volunteering work with the Stroke Association straight after my stroke. Worked with Janet Porter on Walk a Mile in My Shoes program to highlight what sight loss was all about, with Janet obviously as our lead, myself talking about my sight loss experience, and a young lady who was tunnel visual from birth. And that was a real help to me to obviously express my feelings and get people who come into contact with people with vision loss, what they can do to be helpful. And then it was some years later that when I moved to Wales, when through another bout of depression, and that's when the RNIB came into my life. That was when RNIB Wales and the Cymru group, through the talk groups that were formed during COVID, that I was able to get in touch with the POWIS talk group, the sports group, the befriending group, the campaigns group. I actually threw myself into every single group that I could find to really find solace and companionship and help and support during COVID. And since then, I've done several public speaking events for the RNIB, both nationally and within Wales. And I get a lot of satisfaction from that, by hopefully giving people belief and that there is life after sight loss. Problem being is, where do you find that help? Who do you ask? It's simple, really. It's the question that you don't ask that is the most stupid one, because that's the answer that you're really looking for. And that's what the RNIB gave me. They gave me so much support, guiding me to different groups. And I think it's fair to say now that I feel as if I'm part of the furniture now with RNIB, promoting and trying to let people know that there's help, support and comfort for not just the person, but the surrounding family that probably take the brunt of all of the pressure that we feel on a daily basis of not being able to do things the way we used to, for myself, who suffered sight loss at the age of 48.
Finally, Dave, you've kind of already covered this, but could you put into just a few words just how vital the support of the RNIB has been following your sight loss?
It's difficult to find just a few words. I think it's like umbilical cord into a newborn baby. It's essential. It's the lifeblood. It keeps you alive. It also keeps you in contact with other people who've gone through similar experiences. The empathy, not the sympathy, comes out, because sympathy is no good to anyone. And it's just one of these things that we need in our lives to just give us confidence that There is a life after stroke and after sight loss. It's just that confidence, I think, is the main thing.
Well, Dave Rennie, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio and sharing your story with us.
That's my pleasure. And I hope I can touch, even if it's just one person. I think it's a great job done. Thank you.